This is a massive Thursday night game. It might be the biggest Thursday night game we've ever seen. Certainly in terms of a divisional matchup on a Thursday night with first place really riding this late in the season. Doesn't get much better. And to talk about it, we're very happy to welcome the host of ESPN's NFL Live here on a, always in our hearts, a Wingo Wednesday on the Damon Brew Show. Trey Wingo here on 95.7 The Game. What more do you want on a Thursday night? Arrowhead, freezing cold, first place on the line, big game, everybody paying attention, short week. Oh, my God, this is good.
Wow, that was very impressive what you just did. That was really good.
Thank you.
You're right, that's it. I mean, literally, there's nothing else you could ask for. It is everything you would want late in the season this time of year. And, you know, they kind of lucked into it, obviously, with the way the schedule, because there's no flexing into these games. But this is huge. And, you know, if the Raiders win, they pretty much have a stranglehold on the entire division.
We'll just throw this out, get it out of the way. We'll start with the absurd and then work backwards to logical. In any way, does a short week give the Raiders an advantage? We all know it's an advantage for Andy Reid whenever he has a long week or a bye week. In any way, do the Raiders catch a break by not having a full week to get ready here?
Maybe, you know, I get what you're getting at. It says, you know, that way you're thinking they're not thinking about it. Right. Is that sort of what you're going for here?
Kinda.
Yeah. For a team that is, as new to this experience as the Raiders are, that might not be the worst idea. I actually, you know what, Damon, I'm going with that.
Thank you.
I'm gonna take that on NFL Live tomorrow, just so you know.
Run with it. If you'd like to give the show credit and give its time and, you know, promote it nationally, that would be fantastic too. After all, we promote you whenever we get the chance with quotes like this.
Khalil Mack is going to unleash unholy hell on the rest of the NFL.
By the way, you were right. It took a few weeks to get it going.
It was a delayed response, but he finally got there, absolutely.
I mean, and he really, really has. Over the last 7 weeks, he's playing like Lawrence Taylor.
Honestly, he really is. And this is going to sound a little silly, but he's this year's Von Miller. I mean, that's basically what he's doing. And look, Von is playing great. He's with 12.5, 13.5 sacks, whatever. But Khalil is making the game-changing plays that Von Miller routinely did last year. I mean, obviously the strip sack and the interception against Carolina and the strip sack and that led to the interception by Tyrod Taylor last week. I mean, he is simply collapsing the pocket at the most inopportune time and just wrecking a game plan offensively. That's exactly what he's doing.
Yeah, he's been just unbelievable. He'll have to be unbelievable again. When it comes to slowing down Kansas City, what do you think Jack Del Rio and Ken Norton and his defense need to do? Are you more worried about Tyreek Hill getting loose? Are you worried about Travis Kelce in the middle? Are you worried about Spencer Ware gashing this team once again in a running game, and they've had trouble slowing down the run all year?
Well, they certainly have more weapons than they did the last time they played you guys, because Tyreek Hill was nowhere near, you know, the force he is now and a bigger part of that offense. And they're going to get Jeremy Maclin back this week. So they do have a lot of options. Now, the question becomes, are they going to push it down the field? We saw last week in Atlanta what Kansas City was able to do. They had two big throws to Travis Kelce, but they really only won that game, guys, because they got a special teams touchdown and they got a pick six from Eric Berry along with a pick two. It sounds like he was playing lotto to steal the game. So as many weapons as the Kansas City Chiefs have, it's almost like when you watch them play, you're like, why aren't you doing this more? And I think that's if you're a Raiders fan, and I'm assuming that the majority of your listeners are more Raiders fan than Chiefs fans, that's the thing that makes you feel good about, obviously, a little bit of a shaky defense here for the Oakland Raiders, is that the Chiefs always seem to play down on their as opposed to playing past their ability. They seem to play a little bit down their ability when it comes to offense. I mean, you had the hungry pig right toss to Dontari Poe the last time for a touchdown, and they only got 26 points in that game. So you see this offense, and you see all the weapons and all the gadgets and all the things they have. And at times you're wondering, well, why aren't they putting up 34 or 35 on a regular basis?
Trey Wingo here on 95.7 The Game. Let's ask about the one guy who's definitely not involved in this game and may not be involved when it's all said and done this season. Are you surprised we haven't heard anything on Aldon Smith?
Yeah, very much so, because according to the NFL's own policies, once he applied for reinstatement, they had a 60-day window to decide what to do. That 60-day window was last Friday. So, you know, It's like, guys, what are you doing? What are you waiting for here? I'm hopeful that Alden will be able to get back on the field and play for the Raiders this year. And boy, if you do get him, you're getting him, I mean, at the exact right time when you're having these final three or four games down the home stretch where you want fresh legs. And you have to believe he's going to have fresh legs, and to get a third pass rusher in there with Khalil and Bruce, and now you put Alden Smith in there. But it's a little disappointing, once again, that the NFL doesn't abide by its own rules. They should have known. The Raiders should have known by now.
It is time for me to ask you a geographically obligated question about the 49ers. Actually, you can ask your own question if you want. Do you even want to talk about them? Niners,
yeah,
Jets?
Yeah, here's the question. They're playing the Jets, and we all saw, you know, what quitting time looked like last week.
Yes, we did.
The Jets played the Colts on Monday Night Football. In fact, you know, we just put that on something out on our social Instagram page, Andrew Luck, AFC Offensive Player of the Week, and I put a comment in there, technically the Jets should get this award. but look, we're going to find out. Listen, this game means nothing in terms of the standings, but we're going to find out who really wants to be a football player and who really just is cashing checks in this game. Somebody is going to want to win, and the team that actually has a team that has more effort is going to be the team that's going to win, because you know it's hard to not complete a pass for a quarter and a half. I don't care if it's snowing buckets. It's hard not to be able to complete one forward pass in the first quarter and a half of an NFL game, unless it's just pouring down rain. And it wasn't that much of a snowstorm. That game was just a mess. And the Jets absolutely mailed it in, except for four or five players on Monday night. So you're going to find a lot of players that will either go out there and be embarrassed about what happened the last week from the Jets and the Niners, or continue to put on film that's going to make people question how much they're actually trying.
You know who I think is enjoying this 49er season more than anyone?
Tom Gymsulas.
Yeah, that guy, without a doubt.
Also, I was going to go Jim Harbaugh, but yeah, either one of those would work.
No doubt about that. By the way, do you see how now every single guy that basically ever coached for Jim Harbaugh has got a Power 5 job?
Yeah, it's amazing how that happens, right?
It really is. We got Trey Wingo here. I had an idea that I ran past my audience. It's getting mixed reviews. I'd like to run it past you.
Hit me.
In a world where people are looking to make the game safer, I've officially come up with an idea that makes the NFL a little bit safer for injured guys late in the season. Player safety is an issue that's always been discussed out of both sides of the league mouth. You know, Thursday Night Football is the opposite of a player safety first policy, but here we are. How about this? Any player that is in concussion protocol on a team out of playoff contention in week 13 sits the remainder of the season automatically. Like Luke Kuechly is a perfect example of a player that would not come back to play a meaningless game at the end of a meaningless season because you have a significant career that needs to be guarded sometimes even from you, Luke.
Well, you know, it's interesting. Player safety, that would make all the sense in the world. But the other thing is, a lot of these guys, I mean, they're hardwired to do this, and Kuechly is one of those guys. And what's really interesting about Luke's situation is this is the second concussion. You know, he had the other one last year where he missed four games. There are guys that can take the same kind of hit that Luke took and be back in a week passing the concussion protocol. That's the really weird thing about the whole concussion issue.
Right.
There is no litmus test that works for every player. I mean, Mark Schlereth will tell you he blacked out in every game he played at least once. Literally blacked out in every game he played. Saw stars, definition of all that kind of stuff. And he's still completely there and doing fine and doing all this kind of stuff. There are certain people, whether it's unfortunate or not, that are just more predisposed to have issues with concussions than other players. And there's no way to know that. There's no way to know what the base test is that will say you're more than likely to suffer these things. Because, you know, Luke had a pretty big hit last year in Jacksonville, and he missed a few games. And that was a pretty significant hit on the Thursday night game against the Saints. But I've seen that same hit applied to five different players, and they've been able to come back and pass the protocol in a day or 2 days. And, you know, and Luke has missed multiple games. He's back on the field actually this week or today in practice for the first time since that game. So that's the weirdest part about it, or not the weirdest, the hardest thing to scientifically get through is that you can't say, well, this is going to be your experience. Because I know people that have car wrecks and have concussions, and there's a lovely woman that works for us, an assignment editor at ESPN. 2 years after the fact, she still has to wear sunglasses sometimes because of the headaches. And I know other people that have had no problems. It's the most inexact injury to try and diagnose and figure out, and that's what makes it really disturbing.
All right, what's the old saying? The biggest problem with a concussion, as far as fans are concerned, is you can't see it limp. So you
Correct.
Never you
that's
never
exactly
know how
right.
hard or how really hurt anyone is. Cam Newton benched for not wearing a tie, but that's really not the story. The story is him going out of his way to defy his head coach Ron Rivera's wishes, who went out of his way to enforce a stupid rule that certainly doesn't bring you closer or further away from victory. Either way, it's disrespect and dysfunction, and certainly unbecoming of the reigning league MVP. What do you think?
Look, you would have to have me believe a lot before I'm going to believe that this was really about a tie.
Okay.
Now, I do believe. Now, hold on. I do believe that he violated a dress code. There's no question about it. And I do believe he may have violated the dress code on multiple occasions that we don't know about. But on one hand, I respect Ron Rivera for sticking to his guns and doing what he has to do and doing what he feels like he needs to believe to do to rein in his team. But this smells, and this is just conjecture on my part, this smells a little bit like, okay, we've had some stuff go on that maybe I don't think is really good for the team, and I think it'll make a really good example if I can say, look, if I can do this to Cam, I can do it to anybody. I mean, if it really was about just a tie, and even if it was a multiple violations of not wearing a tie, they could have done a lot of things instead of benched him on a national primetime game against one of the marquee teams in the NFL, in the Seattle Seahawks, in a game they had to win. They made it as big of a story as they could by how they decided to handle it. And that's why I believe it's got to be about something more than just a tie. I don't know what it is. I can't say definitively that's the case. That's just my inner, for lack of another better term, a spidey sense going off here.
It's just odd, and it just seems so Bush League for a team that was as good of a football team as you saw last year.
Yeah. I mean, they were 15-1 last year without their best receiver. And they are living proof that nothing is guaranteed in this league because the team is essentially the same. Obviously, Josh Norman is not there, but conversely, they get their game-breaking wide receiver back, and they are significantly worse in every single category.
Have you already started talking with your colleagues about the pro career of Christian McCaffrey, who says he's going to enter the draft? I don't know if I'm looking at a college player who has reached his peak right there, or is this guy going to be, the next Gale Sayers of the NFL? Like, I have no idea how his career goes.
Well, he certainly brings flexibility, and that's the most important thing. You can do a lot of things with Christian McCaffrey, and that's the best thing he's got going for him. Is he prototypical size and speed? Of course not. But there are lots of guys that find ways to make it work. And the thing that I love about McCaffrey is that, look, this is supposed to be a down year for him. His stats are ridiculous. They're through the roof. I do believe there's a way for him to be a very successful player in the NFL, but expectations and things have to be managed the right way. He's not going to be an Ezekiel Elliott. He's not that kind of guy. He's not that kind of runner. What he is a very elusive runner that you can use out of the backfield in situations, and you can throw it to him. Hell, he can even throw it. There's a lot of things that he can do that will create problems for defenses on the NFL level. But you have to understand what he is and what he isn't going into it. And he's not a 25 carry a game back who's going to pound it in between the tackles. That is not who he is.
ESPN Christmas party, holiday party taking place at like Vivaldi's Pizza or Chalker's Choice this year?
You know what? That holiday party used to be the greatest. It was the last great corporate rager. It was. We haven't had it in like 10 years now. They shut it down. But I'm telling you, there's a place, and Damien, I think you've been there, called the AquaTurf Club in Southington, Connecticut.
Yes.
It's just in the middle of nowhere. It's this banquet facility that houses about up to 10,000 people if you want. It has all these rooms and all these bars and everything. And for 10 years, maybe 20 years running, the ESPN holiday party at the AquaTurf was a sight to see.
I heard Bob Lee used to pop out of a cake at midnight.
That never happened, you know it.
Trey, thanks an awful lot, man. What a huge one we got on Thursday, and we'll be, I'm sure, leading off our conversation next Wednesday with whatever's going on atop the AFC West. Thanks an awful lot, though, brother.
Hey, no worries. Hopefully it'll be a very good week for the Raiders.
I would hope so. It would certainly be great. Oh, can we still got you? One more thing. How great is it?
What up?
How great is it that Bill King gets into Cooperstown? Finally, the voice of the Raiders and the
what
A's.
What took so long?
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. It's wonderful. Look, there are very few of those people left, you know, that have done that. And that, or you can say, oh, I heard him do that. Those announcers really aren't around anymore. That's a whole generation that, you know, meant something to that entire area, and it's just nice to see.
It really is. Thank you very much. Trey Wingo here on 95.7 The Game. Always good to have him.